Say yes. Say yes to become a saint. There's no greater gift that you can give to your wife than to be a saint. There is no greater earthly blessing than to be loved by a saint. Give that gift to your children. Give that gift to your spouses. Give that gift to yourself so that when you die, you can say, I left it all on the field. So God has created us, each of us individually and specifically, with a very specific will. And His will for you is union with Him in such a way that it is no longer you who lives, but God Himself who walks this earth through you. To accomplish God's will for your life should be your deepest desire, your deepest longing, your obsession. You should be obsessed with this. In other words, you should become obsessed with becoming a saint. Now, we all hear that we're called to holiness, that there's a universal call to holiness. We're all called to be great saints. But I have a feeling that deep down inside, we don't really believe it. And the reason why the world is the way it is because Catholics have failed to say yes to God, to allow Him to make us a saint. And part of the reason why is we don't know what it means to be a saint or the first step I should take in becoming a saint. So the idea of becoming a saint, what does that really mean? It's not just a category. It means I become one with God. I become one with God through His grace. If you were in the state of grace at this very moment, and if you were to die, guess what? You would become a saint. Maybe not a canonized saint. But if you are in the state of grace, that means you have the life of God in your soul, you are a saint. Anybody who is in heaven is a saint. There's a saying, the greatest failure in life is to fail to become a saint. That's true because that means you're in hell. So that truly is a failure. But it's more than just being in the state of grace that's important. Because a lot of times in Catholicism, we go by rules and we forget that there's a divine person who wants to break forth on this earth and penetrate our families, our workplaces, our communities. And we have to say yes to that. And it's not hard to become a saint. And I think that many of you here are way holier than you realize. And you say, well, I'm sinful. And if somebody were to say, oh, you're going to become a saint. Oh, I think you're a saint. We automatically pretend like it's humble to say no. No, I'm a child of God. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am fighting for Christ. And I'll give you a perfect and beautiful example. Blessed Carlo Acutis, he's going to be canonized a saint. The number one question people ask, why is he going to be a saint? And we can't measure the amount of grace that is in his soul. We can't measure the way that Jesus Christ lived through the life of Carlo Acutis. So we look at the things that we can measure. And we say things like, he went to Mass every day. And that's a sign that he has allowed God and the Holy Eucharist to transform him. They'll say, he prayed the rosary every day. And that's a sign that he had a great devotion to the Virgin Mary. And he discerned God's will zealously. And he built a website dedicated to the Holy Eucharist. All signs, external signs, of something that was going on in his soul. But you know what? I think a lot of people in this room go to Mass every single day. I think a lot of people in this room pray the Holy Rosary every day. I believe a lot of people in this room do things to spread the gospel in their own way. Whether that be through social media, whether that be through your Facebook posts, whether that be the materials that you share at work, you're holier than you think you are. You have more power than you think you do. And so what I want to do today is give you a systematic way for theosis. That's what the Eastern Church calls it. When you become like God and God begins to live through you and act through you and speak through you and suffer through you and rejoice within and through you. You don't lose your personality when you become like God. You become more of who God created you to be. You should strive for this because you want to be fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. Christ came so that we can have life and life to the full. It does not dull your personality to pray more. It does not diminish who you are. It makes you more alive. And when your soul is set on fire, other people around you will naturally set on fire. So I'm going to give you a very abbreviated version of how to become a saint, practical steps that you can take that will transform your life to become another Christ. And if you do these things, I give you my word, your life will never be the same. And when a single person in a family begins to change, it impacts all of the members of the family. Number one, if you have a pen, you should write this down. The first step to holiness is actually free. Receive the sacraments of the church. Baptism is free. To be holy is free. When a person is baptized, they become a literal temple of the Holy Spirit, a living tabernacle. They become a member of the body of Christ. They become adopted children of God. You have the power of God in your soul at baptism. All of us here are baptized. Thanks be to God. What else can I do concerning the sacraments? This is the secret to obtaining the power of God in the most holy Eucharist. Treat the Eucharist as if it is really, truly, and substantially Jesus Christ. If you treat the Eucharist as you would treat Jesus Christ, you will become absurdly holy. What does that look like practically? Well, if Jesus Christ walked this earth, if Jesus Christ lived across the street, and you wanted to be his disciple, how would you be his disciple? Come, follow me. Come, let me speak to you. You speak to me. Physically, really. Jesus Christ is really, truly, and substantially in that tabernacle. Jesus Christ is really, truly, and substantially in the monstrance. Go to him. How often? As often as you can. As often as you need to, yes. When you need something, yes, go there. When somebody is sick, go there. When you're depressed, when you're anxious, when you're sick, go there. When you're in desolation, when you feel like the world is crumbling around you, go there. Talk to him. Spend time with him. Have a real, living, committed relationship with Jesus in the most holy Eucharist as you would as if he was a real person. Major decisions, don't make one without consulting him. Don't make a major decision without consulting him. When you buy new shoes, go show him your new shoes. Treat him in the Eucharist like a real person. Speak to him. And he speaks in the heart, not with the ears, with the movements and the tuggings of the heart, and I will give you a little bit of an explanation of that in a moment. Receive him in Holy Communion as often as humanly possible. If Father were to say, I'm giving $35,000 tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., how many of us would call our friends and family and say, we got to go to church. Father's got a lot of treasure, and he's just giving it out to anybody who shows up. In the Holy Eucharist, we have more than money. We have the riches of heaven. And nobody shows up. We should be screaming it from the rooftops. God is here. Jesus Christ is here. Are you sick? Let us receive the divine physician and receive him with faith and with zeal. Our churches should be packed. We have the greatest treasure on earth. We have the answer for the longings of the human heart. Invite people into the church. How many stories have you heard of people who are not Catholic stopping into a Catholic church and feeling a presence? We hear stories like this where strangers come in and they say, who's in that box? What's in that box over there? God. What? God is there? I believe it. Why did you have to stumble into the church? Why didn't my Catholic friends tell me Jesus Christ is here? So much transformation happens when you are in the presence of Jesus. So far, all of this is free. It has cost you nothing just to show up, to receive baptism, to receive the riches of heaven. And we say, I'm so busy. We cling to dirt when God offers us treasures of eternal life. Confession is the most beautiful sacrament. The most beautiful words I have ever heard or through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. You may go in peace. I've heard those words 1,000 times, so I know the words of absolution. Confession is a place of the mercy of God that we should go to regularly. Key word, regular. What does regular mean? On a basis, on a schedule. For you, maybe that's once every 2 weeks, once every month. For me, I go personally, I go once a week because that's what I need. That's what I need because confession that is regular is like throwing a paper airplane. No matter what, that paper airplane's coming down. It's going to crash. And in my life, what I need is a fresh wind every week to pick me back up, to make me examine the places where I have not been like Christ. So I said you were all holy, much holier than you thought, but you're also sinful. You're also wretched. You're also a pain. You're also selfish. You're also annoying. That's because you're human. A lot of times we look at the saints and the lives of the saints, and we put them up on a pedestal. And they were human. And so I believe personally that you in this room, God is calling you to an extraordinary holiness. And step number 2 to obtaining it is truly one of the secrets. Step number 2 is so valuable. Saint Alphonsus said, all of the saints in heaven are saints in heaven because of this. Teresa of Avila said, this is the gateway to all prayer. St. John of the Cross said, you cannot overcome the diabolical temptations without this. St. Alphonsus said, without this, there is no salvation. What? Without this, there is no salvation. Most people, when I say these words, you don't even know what I'm talking about. The words I'm going to tell you, what this answer is, I didn't even know it. I have degrees in theology and philosophy. I went to a Catholic university, and I didn't even know this existed up until a little over a year ago. And it's critically important for holiness, and if you please take these steps to heart, it will radically transform your life. So step number 2 to becoming a saint, which really could be number 1, but because the sacraments, I can't put anything above the sacraments, is Jesus Christ, is called mental prayer. It's a specific type of prayer where you encounter Christ. It is steps to have that moment of encounter. You go to the Blessed Sacrament, maybe 1 out of 10, I know this has happened to you if you've ever been, where you go to the Blessed Sacrament and you just feel the presence of God. And you didn't have to do anything or say anything. You just knelt there and you're like overwhelmed with the presence of God. I hope that's happened to you. And if that has, you know that doesn't happen every time you go to the chapel. Sometimes, and maybe this is you, you go to the chapel a lot, and you're like, "What? I'm here because they told me to come here to be holy, and all right, I've been here for a couple minutes, time to go now. Feel no different?" The difference is mental prayer. I'm going to give you the 3 steps of mental prayer on how to do it. Then I'm going to describe to you why it is so important. Before I continue, St. Alphonsus, doctor of moral theology, also said, God rarely answers anybody's prayers unless they pray using this method. So important. It will radically transform your Mass. It will radically transform your adoration. It will radically transform your divine mercy. It will radically transform your rosary. And I've got a couple more tips for those in a moment. So the first step of mental prayer is making a firm act of faith in the presence of God. Saying what I said when we first started praying, I don't know about you, but I felt the room change when I said those words. When I said, God, I believe you're present. God, I believe you're holding me into existence. God, I believe I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. God, I believe I'm a member of the body of Christ. God, I believe you're really there in that tabernacle. When you say those words, those acts of faith that are true, it changes. That's how you pray always. It's called being recollected is another way to say it. But for your number 1, I would write being in the presence of God. Step number 2, write the word, if you have a pen and paper, write the word, consider. Consider some aspect of the life of Christ. For example, this is how I pray. When I'm in desolation, the first thing I will do And I'm just going to give you one example. You could use any aspect of the life of Christ. I imagine I'm holding a fat baby. If you have children, if you've had a baby, you can imagine what it's like to hold a baby. And you look at that little fat baby and you say, Jesus, I love you. And you just look at his toes or look at his eyes. Anything that will grab your attention, to spark conversation. I'm imagining, this is my imagination, fat baby Jesus. Is God this close to me? He's closer than that, actually. Is God really present to me? Yes, he is. Was God ever a baby? Does God always have the innocence of a baby? Yes. So although it's my imagination, it is giving my mind something to grab onto so that my heart can respond. And because the infancy of Christ, in this case, is from sacred scripture, it will stir up the Holy Spirit in you. Could you not go to bed imagining holding a little baby, the baby Jesus? Oh my gosh, yes. Whenever I hold babies, I'm like, this is what it must have been like to hold baby Jesus. So it doesn't have to be that. Maybe it is if you're going through a diabolical attack. And I don't mean, when I say diabolical attack, I don't mean that the devil's choking you. When I'm talking about diabolical attack, I mean fear. Disordered fear, disordered anxiety. When you're worried about the future and your mind is racing to what if, 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 what if. Maybe you do have a legitimate concern, but the devil's voice sounds a lot like your voice. He purposely will try to sound like you to make you go off the tracks. And how do you drive him away? With the passion of Christ. So you imagine Jesus on the cross. And you spend time with Christ crucified. So that's step number one, presence. Step number two, consider. Step number three, converse. Talk to Christ in that imaginary scene. So I'm talking to the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, I'm scared. I might have cancer. It could be really, really bad. I have children. What am I going to do? That's a legitimate fear. You've looked at baby Jesus, you're talking to baby Jesus, your eyes are closed. It's best to do this with your eyes closed because it cuts off stimuli. All of this is very scientific, by the way. And you say to Jesus, I'm scared, please help me. I don't know what to do. Then you have to pause and let God speak. You must allow God to speak to you. And you'll say, but it's in my imagination. Yes, it is. And I will tell you how to recognize the voice of God. The voice of God does not speak in the head. The voice of God speaks in the heart through tuggings, through movements. So in your imagination, you say, Jesus, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And then you pause, and all of a sudden it hits you. In your mind, it hits you. I can't believe I'm holding the God of the universe. Like I'm holding the God of the universe as a baby. And out of nowhere, you just feel it in your heart. He says, don't you see how I trust you to hold me? Won't you trust me to hold you? Trust me. And it's not here anymore. You feel it in the depths of your soul. That's how you know it's God. But this only happens when you consider gospel truths. That only happens when you consider gospel truths. So the second step to sanctity is prayer. Prayer for what? Number one, to open my disposition. When you go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the priest says the same words every single day. Objectively, to an outside viewer, this might be boring. But with mental prayer, you are made aware of the mysteries of God being revealed on that altar, that you are at the center of time, you are in heaven, you are on earth, you are at the crucifixion. It is not the priest offering the Mass, but it is the very person of Jesus Christ. But you only realize that when you close your eyes and you visualize the crucifixion as he's offering the consecration. You visualize the risen Lord in his kingly glory as you process up to receive Holy Communion. You visualize these sacred mysteries when you make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. So mental prayer disposes you. Mental prayer puts you into contact with Christ. What is a saint? A saint is a person who becomes like Christ. How can you become like a person you're never spending time with? On a daily basis, when you go through the Gospels, when you sit at the feet of the Virgin Mary at Pentecost, every single day through your prayer of the rosary, how can you not have confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit? It will radically change you to mentally be there. There's a saying, a grace remembered is a grace renewed. Mental prayer, absolutely essential. Now you can see why St. Alphonsus says, God rarely answers those who do not use mental prayer, because that is the God of the Christians, the crucified Christ, the infant child Jesus. It's not just a blind prayer thrown up to a nebulous spirit. So step number one is so simple. The sacraments as often as possible. Step number two, when I go to pray, even if it's just for a moment, make an active faith in the presence of God. Consider some aspect of his ministry. And even if you go back to the same image, that's fine. And converse with him there and know that he answers you with the tuggings of your heart. When you feel a conviction, like tonight, when you feel the conviction to pray the rosary or to go to the Blessed Sacrament, when you feel that inner push, that is God. That's how he communicates. When you have a darkness overwhelm your soul and there's a funk that you can't seem to fight, St. Alphonsus says, the ordinary means for removing darkness from the soul is mental prayer. And so the devil's greatest achievement of modern times is to keep Christians from truly praying. The third step to becoming a saint and to becoming very holy and really, truly, Maximilian Kolbe said that this is really the essence of sanctity. Union with the will of God. A lot of times when suffering hits us, we question whether God is even aware of us. It rocks our world. Sometimes God allows a tragedy in our life to reorient us. St. John of the Cross said that suffering endears men to Christ. When you're suffering, you don't care what kind of car you drive. You don't care what video games you have or what cell phone you own or whatever it is that you previously cared about. When you're suffering, everything in your life takes proper order, and the human heart cries out to God. And so God allows suffering, but he entered deeply into it. And we lose faith that God is a part of our suffering. When a tragedy strikes us, we're like, where's God? Where is he? We have to have the confidence that everything that happens to you is willed by God, permissively or actively. When you are suffering, it is the will of God. He is not making it happen, but he has allowed it. And you need to ask the question, what do you want me to learn from this? And what does the Christian God do with suffering? He did not come to take it away. He came to revolutionize it and transform it. And so when you ask me how to save the souls of your family members, there's only one way to save souls. You must suffer. You must sacrifice. Are you willing to die for them? When you spend time with Christ at the crucifixion, when you spend time with Christ at the foot of the cross, and you tell him in mental prayer about your son or your daughter who has left the faith, and you pause, and he says, I'm suffering for you. Will you suffer for them? When you look at the cross, something changes in your heart and you say, let's fight. You want to fight? Let's fight. You want to go down? You're going to lose. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do whatever it takes. But I'm getting your poor soul to heaven whether you like it or not. And one day, when you meet your judgment, you're going to thank me for all the rosaries I prayed and all the fasting I did, you ungrateful child. And they will. Your child will thank you, and you will have fulfilled your vocation to love, to sacrifice for the sake of the beloved. So when suffering comes, accept it as the will of God. It's hard. It is. It's truly a hard thing to do. But when you embrace that cross, you become alive. The sting is gone. Once you've accepted this is God's will. Because a lot of times we fight God's will. People say that the hardest part of the Our Father is forgive us of our trespasses. That ain't as hard as thy will be done. When it's raining and you've planned a picnic and you're praying, God, please don't let it rain. Please don't let it rain. I'm sorry to say, but God could part the skies if he really wanted to. If it's raining, he wants it to rain. Accept it. Doing God's will necessitates death. Because if I'm doing God's will, guess whose will I'm not doing? My will. But when I do God's will, this is the beauty of the power of the will of God. People say, why aren't there miracles? Why aren't there healings? Where's God? St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, Carmelite, said, God has no hands and feet except for your hands and feet. When you say yes to the will of God, all of the great saints, Maximilian Kolbe, one of the greatest saints of modern times, says, it is no longer you who acts, but God who works. If you're in the grocery store and you have a tugging on your heart to pray for somebody, for a healing, right there in the middle of the grocery store, and you say, I am not a healer. I don't have that power. You don't have that power. The apostles didn't have that power. God has that power. And if you say yes, you give permission to Almighty God to flow out of your hands and into their withered leg. You have to say yes. And it's hard. Because if you really want to be a saint, you really want to allow God to do everything. You want to discern everything. What shirt you wear in the morning, Lord, what shirt would you like me to wear? What should I eat for lunch? You're having a continual and familiar conversation with God. And the beauty of this is it makes everything in life significant. And then everything you do has infinite value because love is infinite. St. Therese of the Child Jesus, I love her. I love her. And she is without a doubt one of the greatest saints of modern times. But guess what? What did she do? Not much. Not much, to be honest with you. The people who lived with her, who were in the same community with her, were discussing, what are we going to say about her when she dies? Literally, there's nothing to say. She's not remarkable. And God elevated her to one of the highest positions in the church. She's one of the greatest saints. I go to churches, and sometimes I'll see two statues of St. Therese, one of St. Joseph, no statues of St. Peter or St. John the Apostle. She's got more statues in churches than Padre Pio, and he was a mystic. You have to remember, we are all called to live lives that could be canonized. If somebody were to look at our life and say, yeah, this person went to Mass as often as possible. They loved the Eucharist. They prayed regularly. They tried to do God's will in all things. It is God who chooses those whom to canonize. So the church does her investigations, like in the life of Therese or Blessed Carlo Acutis. But God has to put his hand and say, miracle, miracle, canonized saint. In the case of St. Therese, she had volumes of miracles from World War I and World War II, even before her canonization, of a young nun appearing on the battlefield and bullets dropping to the ground right in front of a person who was supposed to have been shot. And the nun smiling and disappearing. Are there people who are holier than St. Therese in heaven? I believe it 100%. I believe she's one of the holiest canonized saints we know of in modern times. But I believe that there's a lot of little grandmas, a lot of young men who are holier than her, and that God says, let's put a spotlight on her so that people can realize you don't have to be special. You just have to love and to love my will and to do my will at every single moment. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I try to do all these things. And every saint that has ever lived has tried to do all of these things and fails. They try to be good. They try to be holy. They try to fight sin. And they fail. And this is the fourth and final thing you need to be a saint. And there is not a saint in heaven that is canonized that did not have this fourth method and their life did not radically transform. So although I'm putting this last, it's because I'm saving the most special for last. And that's Mary. Total consecration to the Virgin Mary. Now I have to explain. I have to explain what that means. Mary is the neck. Mary is the pipeline from which you receive every grace from God. And you have to specifically give her your life. Why? Because you're called to be another Christ. Well, how did Christ become man? Within and through Mary. Her blood was flowing through his veins. His flesh was 100% of the Virgin Mary. And so too you, as you become another Christ, you need the Virgin Mary. You need to surrender your life and give her permission to make you into Christ. Because what is the role of the Virgin Mary? Her role is the same as it was at the Incarnation, to form the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you go to heaven, it is only because you are a member of the body of Christ. So it is the role of the Virgin Mary yesterday and today to make Christ. And in this case, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to turn you into another Christ. And when you give her permission to mother you and mold you, yes, 100% she does. She does the motherly thing. The motherly thing that a biological woman is wired to do is to nurse her children, to give life to her children, to console her children, to comfort her children. And when a baby cannot have the mother's breast, nothing can make that child satisfied. And that mother also longs to feed her child. Mary longs to help you, longs to help us. And she only doesn't help us because we don't call upon her. All of the greatest saints, the doctors of the church, St. Bernard said that never was it known that anybody who called upon her was ever left unaided. And so therefore, call upon her. Don't stop calling upon her. Are you depressed? Are you sad? Are you weak? Today is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's good to celebrate the feast. It radically evangelized and revolutionized this part of the world. True. And that's great to celebrate that. But even more powerful is read her messages. Read the apparition accounts of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The first apparition to Juan Diego, she says, build a temple here and build it as soon as possible. Why? Because I want a place that people can come and they can pour their hearts out to me and I can aid them in their miseries. I can help them in their depression and I can be a mother to them and take care of them. She only wanted that temple there so that she could express her motherly concern for every single one of us. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not in the fold of my mantle? Am I not your health? Am I not your protection? I'm the queen of heaven and earth. And we look at the tilma, and the tilma reveals a lot of things to the Aztecs, and it reveals a lot of things to the Spaniards, and it reveals stuff to the future with the microscope and the eyes and the stars. But it's also spiritual. When you look at the eyes and you see Juan Diego, that means that she has her eyes on every single one of us. When you see her cloak, in the stars and the constellation. She's the queen of the universe. Trust her. She is trustworthy. Love her. Don't doubt her. This is the greatest lesson of your life. The greatest lesson of the spiritual life is trust. Trust. They see you. They love you. They're with you. You have nothing to fear. So if never was it known that she let anybody down, never was it known, what does that mean for me practically? Entrust everything to her. Consecrate everything to her. Consecrate your children to her. Ask her for help when you receive Holy Communion. Ask her for help to find a parking spot. Ask her for help in your exams. Ask her for help in every circumstance. Because never was it known that she didn't help. If you have two people They're both trying to love Jesus Christ. One of them asked, Blessed Mother, help me to love Jesus. The one who asks, even if they're identical in all things, will receive more grace. Because it is the will of Almighty God that Mary is your mother. It's the last thing he did on the cross at the wedding feast of Cana. It wasn't even his hour. And she has power even over the heart of God. Because it is the will of God the Father that you have an advocate that will never fail you, that you will have the love of a mother. So always entrust everything to her, everything and everybody. Before you do anything, Blessed Mother, Blessed Mother, Blessed Mother, Blessed Mother. Mary is present. How is she present? In a lot of ways. St. Alphonsus says, because she has the role of mother, and her vocation as mother is tied up in her sanctity, in order for her to be a good mother to you, a member of the body of Christ, she has to be ever attentive to you at every single moment. We call Mary the mediatrix of all grace. Where is that in the Bible? Hail, full of grace. She's got all the grace before Christ. And then Christ, who is grace incarnate, comes to us through her. All grace of God for our salvation comes through us through Mary. That means one thing. If you're receiving grace at every single second, every single moment in the present moment, God gives you grace to do his holy will. That means the Virgin Mary is watching you at every single moment. She knows what's going through your mind. She knows what's going on in your body. She is attentive. And she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Maximilian Kolbe teaches us that the Holy Spirit chooses not to act except through his spouse. And anywhere that Mary in devotion, in on our lips or in our hearts or in our virtues is present, the Holy Spirit flies there. Call upon the name of Mary. Entrust everything to her. And she will radically help you. Now, I'm going to give you a shortcut. I have boiled it down to two steps. Three, but two steps. Try to keep a sense of the presence of Mary with you wherever you go. Talk to her lovingly and familiarly, okay? And pause before you do anything to consult with her. Blessed Mother, what do you want? You're not going to hear voices in your ears. So I am asking the Virgin Mary to reveal to me the will of God. So you want to do the will of God. The best way to find out the will of God is through the Virgin Mary, because never was it known that she ever failed. So you say, Blessed Mother, what should I do? You're not going to hear it, but you're going to feel it in your heart. Catechism of the Catholic Church says that we have to follow our consciences. Paragraph 1776 says that the man who is prudent can hear God speaking in his conscience. It's the aboriginal vicar of Christ. To call upon the name of Mary to make the movements of my conscience clear is the closest you're going to get to a quasi-certitude. It's called consultation with Mary. Most people, even after they find this information out, they're too hasty, and so they don't adequately pause to consult with Mary, to put your ideas before her, to let her lead you. You always want to get in front of God. You always want to get in front of Mary. No, no, no. Stay one step behind. Let them lead you. Now, even that is hard. And so the Virgin Mary gave us a secret weapon that transforms step one, step two, step three, and step four. The Virgin Mary, who wants us to become saints, whose only goal is to form us into the body of Christ, has chosen and made the rosary to be absolute, pure science, pure gold, to be the best way to obtain favors from God, the best way to discern the will of Almighty God. This thing is pure saint-making genius. Pure saint-making genius. When you pick up the rosary to pray it, it's painful. It requires an act of self-denial. I pray this all the time, but even though I love it and I no longer see it as a burden, because I look at this, honestly, when I see this, this is my guarantor of success. I look at the rosary as my path, as my way into the end zone. Our Lady clears a path past all the defenders. She makes the will of God known. I'm safe. The safest place to be is within the holy will of God. Step one to praying the rosary is that self-denial necessary to hear the voice of God. So I don't have to think of step one, step two, step three. I just start this, and it's an autopilot, death to my will. Then when I say those beautiful words, Our Father, Hail Mary, those words are important, but guess what? They're not that important. They're important because they're the most precious words of sacred scripture. But so many of you come to me and tell me, I pray the rosary and I forget what Hail Mary I'm on. I'm not even paying attention to what Hail Mary I'm on. People hate praying the rosary with me. My children will testify, like, Dad, we've got four more Hail Marys. What are you doing? Like, that's why I pray so many, because I'm only doing half. I'm just kidding. The Hail Marys are there because they stir up the word of God within you. And what precious words they are. They never fail. Do you know that the Virgin Mary loves those words more than any other words in the human language? It is those words that makes God man. Hail, full of grace. The greatest moment in human history. The cornerstone of salvation history. The Holy Spirit comes down upon her. The second person of the Holy Trinity becomes flesh. The Holy Spirit flies at those words. God the Father inclines his ear at those words. All the angels in heaven are waiting for the incarnation after the fall of Adam and Eve. They were on pins and needles waiting for Our Lady to respond. Those words are powerful. Even if you don't focus on them. Our Father, powerful. About stirring up the Holy Spirit and putting a wall of protection from your mind and your heart, from the devil. But the most important part of the rosary, I am now convinced of it, is the mental prayer that happens. So, briefly, when you're praying your rosary, let's say you are on the agony in the garden, the first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden. You don't have to say it, but you make an act of faith. God is present here. God, I believe you're present here. God, I know you're in my soul, etc. You say, oh, you're before the Blessed Sacrament. Step number two, you imagine Jesus in the agony in the garden. Any aspect. If you have difficulty, imagine if you're trying to describe it to a three-year-old. Okay, so Jesus was kneeling down, and he was really hot and really sweaty, but his sweat was actual blood, and he was shivering. When it strikes you, move on to step three. Visualize yourself kneeling really close to him. Look into his eyes and ask him for whatever you want. Ask him in this mystery in that location. Then you do your Our Fathers and Hail Marys. It should be known that when the rosary was originally given to St. Dominic, it was referred to not as the rosary, but the Virgin Mary told St. Dominic, preach my Psalter. And so the Marian Psalter is 150 angelic salutations, 150 Hail Marys. So originally, they would pray the joyful in the morning, the sorrowful in the afternoon, and the glorious in the evening to mirror the prayer of religious. And I begin to hear the voice of God in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And it begins to transform me. And the effects of it are insane. The effects of it are insane. If you're not praying the rosary at all, start with one rosary. If you're praying one, try three. If you're praying three, try four. You could pray six, seven, eight, nine. How do you know how many rosaries to pray? You pray and ask God what he wants. And you will feel tuggings on your heart. But I will preface this. If you are addicted to pornography, if you are struggling and under diabolical mental attack, if you have children who objectively, by all objective standards, look like they are not going to heaven, if I were you, I would up it to four and try four for 7 to 14 days. You pick a time span to try it and to pray it for that intention. And I know that sounds serious, especially because, like, wow, that's like everybody in the room. All of our children are, yeah, you've got a moral obligation to try and get your children to heaven. And I'm going to give you a path that I have seen works. I have had friends who have come to me and said, my mom and my dad are separating. My siblings are a mess. None of them are going to church. I say, pray the entire rosary. 6 months later, I say, hey, you should check in on your parents. You're not going to believe this. I just called my mom and told her that she should pray the rosary for my dad. And she said, I am praying the rosary. I just started last week, and I'm praying four of them. I started watching this video from Gabi. Do you know who he is? And she's like, yeah, I know who he is. He's my friend. And next thing you know, dad's going to confession. So what will happen is when one person in the family really dies, offers themselves to the Virgin Mary and says, I'm going to allow you to transform me into Christ. Grace flows into this one individual, and then one by one, the members of the family begin to fall. And so there's a lot of promises made to Saint Dominic and Blessed Alan. These promises were made under the condition that you were praying all of the mysteries. And Mary promised, if you take the rosary seriously, I will give you signs. So you're praying the rosary, you're hearing the voice of God in prayer, your heart is being moved, sacrifice this, buy this for this person for Christmas. And then after you prayed the rosary, you got an ad on your phone for the very thing that Our Lady was saying to buy. Man, Google's good. How did he even read my prayers? No, it's a signal grace. The Virgin Mary promised signs that will confirm what's happening in your heart. We don't live off of signs, but they can confirm if we've been praying about something. The second promise for those who are faithful to the rosary is special protection. Our Lady will protect you. She's not going to take away all suffering. She will allow suffering in your life, but she's not going to allow you to become overcome by it if you're faithful to the rosary. Look at John Paul II. She allowed him to be shot. But when the bullets entered his body, they missed all the vital organs. Why? John Paul II says, one finger pulled the trigger, but the Mother of God was directing the bullets. The third promise for those who are faithful to the rosary, it will destroy vice, destroy it. I've had people addicted to crack start praying the rosary four times a day, and they are no longer addicts. I've had people who are addicted to porn. Within a week, they gave up their porn addiction. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes God allows the vice to last longer. But in many, many, many cases, and in no case have I ever seen that somebody persevered in the rosary, that they did not overcome their vice. Our Lady never loses to the devil. The Virgin Mary never loses to the devil. She always crushes his head. You either quit the rosary or you quit the fight. And you just give up and say, fine, I'm just going to live with this. No, you will win. You will win every battle. In the rosary, you will receive the grace to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist more fervently. Everybody who is committed to the Virgin Mary, without miss, they start praying the rosary. Their family members say, you're obsessing over Mary and the rosary. But then you know what happens as a result of that? They obsess over Jesus and the Eucharist. Everybody who I see at the Blessed Sacrament is devoted to the Virgin Mary. It's the secret to the Eucharist. Mary brings us to Christ. Those who are devoted to the rosary go to confession frequently. Our Lady makes sure. If you are going to pray more than one rosary a day, I must give you these five tips or you're going to fail. Tip number one, carry a rosary with you everywhere you go. Tip number two, have an intention, because when the devil comes after you and says, you're too tired, don't do this, you're going to quit unless you have a reason why you're praying. Tip number three, don't be scrupulous. Don't be scrupulous. Just get it done and work on doing it better more and more as you pray. You only get better at praying by praying. Tip number four, you don't have to do the Apostles' Creed more than once. It can be the straw that breaks the camel's back to pray that Apostles' Creed four times. Like, I was going to do it. I can't do that Apostles' Creed no more. Okay, so don't. The most important things are Our Father's, Hail Marys, and Mysteries. The fifth is make a plan. Make a plan. When are you going to pray? Do not wait till bedtime, because never was it known that anybody who laid down with the rosary did not fall asleep unaided. I beg of you, if you need a change in your life, if you really want to become a saint, do it with Mary's instrument. It makes everything easy. You will hear the voice of God in prayer. You will hear the power of the Holy Spirit working through your life. You will look back and you will say, every decision I made while praying the rosary turned out well. Never was it known that she failed. I'm begging of you, say yes. Say yes to become a saint and to allow Mary to transform you. The world needs you. Your family needs you. If you just say yes and allow the grace of God to flow through you, you will be happy. It's the only thing that will make you happy. Allow Jesus to live through you. Allow Mary to live and love through you. Many of you are parents. Many of you are spouses. There's no greater gift that you can give to your wife than to be a saint. There is no greater earthly blessing than to be loved by a saint. Give that gift to your children. Give that gift to your spouses. Give that gift to yourself so that when you die, you can say, I left it all on the field. And maybe after you're dead, somebody looks at your life and calls you saint. Doesn't matter. That's up to God. But you will have lived a life well lived with no regrets. God bless you, and let's end in prayer. If you please kneel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Blessed Virgin Mary, we accept you as our mother. We ask that you give us your heart, that we can love Christ the way that you love him. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Mary, we ask that you give us your heart that we can love Mary the way that you love her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.